Good morning everybody. Do the usual thing, jy weet wat dit is nie. Groet drie mense rondom jou, ernstig met God se liefde. Groet hulle ernstig. Hallelujah. Did you experience how easy and how natural it was to be able to greet somebody next to you? Did you experience that? It wasn't difficult, was it? Let's say you miskien the first time visitor is and you het miskien bietjie ongemaklik gevoel. But even easier is to speak to the Lord like that. He's closer than our next heartbeat and our next breath. Can you say amen? And that's how easy we can enter into dialogue with the Lord. I want to encourage you with that. You don't have to say some fancy prayer, or to quote New King James or whatever, you just say, Dad, I need you. Hallelujah. So bless you. May you receive from God exactly what He has for you this morning. The theme that we've been speaking about is our eyes on Jesus. And the foundation verse is Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. And it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. So this morning we thank You, Father, for the privilege that we have of studying Your Word together. Thank You, Lord God, that You, Holy Spirit, will come and take that which You read on a screen or see on a projector, or see in the pages of our Bible, that You would make it alive. And Lord, regardless of the speaker today, You are going to manifest Your presence because You love Your people. And today, Lord God, thank You that what we are going to experience and enjoy is the bread of life and living water. I pray that each person here trusts You at face value, that You say it and we choose to believe it. Regardless of how needy we are and the length of our prayer lists and what we're trusting You for which we've not yet seen the breakthrough, we thank You that You are faithful and true and that You will meet us at our point of need. So I thank You, Lord, that we can gather with You this morning at this table that You've prepared before us in the presence of our enemy. Enjoy Your company this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And the people of the Most High God said, amen and amen. We've been speaking about keeping our eyes on Jesus. And last week, we discussed the humanity of Jesus. That He is just as much human as He is God. And how He went through different emotions and experienced abandonment and anger and despondency and despair and loneliness and all those things at the hands of people. And because He's been through everything that we can possibly go through and so much more, He can relate to us, and He understands us in our weaknesses. We also said that although Jesus is just as much human, and He went to heaven differently to the way He came, and we are human, that we cannot use that as an excuse. Stimulus psalm. I can't even say, oh, well, ek is maar net 'n mens, 'n man is nie 'n klip nie, en vleis is vleis, en 'n man moet eet, en so gemaak en so gelaat staan. Dit is nie so nie. God has made us. We're human. But inside us lives a supernatural God. And this week, we're going to look at focusing our eyes on Jesus still, but paying attention and taking heed to His word and His call on our lives. Come with me to the Gospel according to St. Mark and the 4th chapter. We read from verse 35. I'm going to look at the NLT this morning specifically. Various translations say it in different ways, but this just has something really, really interesting that I'd like us to look at. We can look at Mark chapter 4 from verse 35, and I want to follow on the screen. Is this the second edition? Can we get the NLT, the first edition? Can we get that one? Het ons het, ons het, nee. Mark 4 from verse 35. Are we winning? Kan ons dit kry? Sure we can. I know it's there somewhere. There we go. Hallelujah. Bless you. Thanks, guys. All right, we're going to read from verse 35 to verse 41. Are you ready? Hold on to your seat and experience the ride of your life. Hallelujah. And as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. Everybody say other side. Good. And he was already in the boat. Say already in a boat. So they started out leaving the crowds behind. Say leaving the crowds. All right. Although there were other boats that followed. But soon a fierce storm arose. Say soon there was a storm. Very good. High waves began to break into the boat until it was nearly full of water. Everybody say nearly full. And Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. So Jesus was sleeping. And frantically they woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you even care that we're going to drown? Don't say anything." And when he woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the wave, I wonder why he rebuked the wind. But he spoke to the wave and he said, quiet down. It's like, shut up, yay. That's biker language, yay. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Imagine this, people. Just picture it. Sometimes we take these things for granted. I mean, it's a hengse storm. And he rebukes the wind and says to the water, and it's like, wow, I'd love to see something like that. And he asked them, why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in me? And verse 41 says, and they were filled with awe and said among themselves, who is this man that even the wind and waves obey him? Just something interesting about that word awe. You know, today awful means, isn't it? But that's not where it comes from. That word awe is like they were amazed. So the original meaning of awful is that you're filled with awe. So they were awfully amazed at what Jesus has done. We're going to look at a few key elements in this passage of Scripture to help us understand what we're trying to discuss this morning about keeping our eyes on Jesus. And this statement came to me in preparing this. I got together this week with our pastors fraternal. We're part of a network called the TCN, where we just get together and just share our hearts with each other. We don't have a meeting. We just do life together and share our challenges and our victories and discuss certain issues. And we're sharing as pastors that sometimes you sit in front of people with huge, huge, huge challenges. And they're coming to you for an answer. They're coming to find, hulle verwag iets van jou af. Jy is mos die man van God, nou moet jy produce en vir hulle antwoord gee wat alles net so kan oplos. Somtijds voel ons so. Maar eintlik is dit nie so nie. And sometimes, all we have to share with them is the Word of God. And this became revelation to me. Ladies and gentlemen, as sons and daughters of God, even just to qualify that title, a son or a daughter of God, all that we've got is the Word of God. And all that we'll need is the Word of God. But it must be mixed with faith. And sometimes you sit there in front of a person. Mense, daar's werklike moeilikheid daar buite. Is dit nie so nie? Stuff happens. Your wife crashes your car. The popo hits the fan. Ek kan jou nou al sê, Nicoline het nie die oggend opgestaan sê, vandag gaan ek vir Eugene wys. Ek gaan, Nicole, sorry. Ek gaan hierdie kar afskryf vir oggend. Stuff happens. And sometimes we have to come to the realization that all we've got, family, is the Word of God. And all we need is the Word of God. But it must be mixed with faith. So in verse 35, I want to point out seven key aspects from this passage of Scripture quickly. Jesus had a specific plan and a purpose for their lives. He had a destination in mind. He said to them, "Let's go out and put our lives at risk in a storm, shall we?" Did the storm catch Jesus by surprise? Did he know the storm was coming? But what did he say to them? "Let's go where? To the other side." You see, God always sees the end from the beginning from the end. He's not subject to time. We see life and experience life according to time. There's time that is yet to unfold for us, but God has been there, done that, invented the T-shirt. He sees the end from the beginning. He sees the end from the beginning. So whatever challenge you're facing now, my brother, my sister, God has already got a solution for that. And sometimes, here's the deal. Are you ready for some deep, deep revelation here? Sometimes the solution is not a solution. Sometimes the question that begs to be answered in your life has no answer. Sometimes God wants you to go through the process. To just go through the experience with no solution, but to come through the other side and say, "I made it." I saw this beautiful picture of a tiny little bird with its head bent right over, perched on a little railing, with a storm beating down. It said there, "Sometimes all you can do is bow your head, pray, and weather the storm." You see, God has a specific plan and a purpose for your life. He already sees die eindbestemming wat hy in gedagte het vir jou. En dit is 'n goeie bestemming. Dit is 'n goeie plek. Dit is nie 'n plek van nag nie. Dit is nie 'n bietjie lig op die einde van die tunnel. It is the light at the end of the tunnel. Can you say amen? And he says to them, "Let's go to the other side." That's what Jesus saw. Not the storm. For them, it's just a life-threatening situation. But for Jesus, it's worthy of putting your head on a cushion and cupping a dos. So Jesus has a specific plan and purpose for your life. Can you agree with me this morning? Amen. And then it says, Jesus has already shown us by His words and the example of His life what to do. How many of you want to know what to do and how to face the challenges we're facing in your life? Can I see a show of hands? Well, there we got an example. Between Genesis and maps are the answers. Right through the Scripture, there's a silver thread called Jesus, where everything points to Him by His spoken word and His lifestyle and His examples. And He says, "This is how you do life." How many of you are tired of being happy? There's just like so much happiness. You say, "Oh Lord, please let a bit of trouble break out in my life." Can I see a hand? Almal van ons wil happy wees, isn't it so? We just want to be happy. And there's a whole chapter in Scripture, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, if you want to be happy, this is what you do. This is what you do. A whole chapter dedicated to this. A couple of years, I don't know how long ago, we did a whole sermon series, How to Live the Blessed Life. I encourage you, get that. That was good preaching because God spoke, not me. 7 of you believe it. The rest of you, great teachings here. We just want to be happy. And there's the example. Jesus has given us an example. In verse 36, it says, He was already in the boat. Not every translation has it like that. He was already in the boat. He gives us an example. He's already done and said all that we need to enjoy a life of success and victory and overcoming. Hy belei voor sy medegelowiges. Ek was negatief, maar waar was hy? Hy was hier. Julle hoor nie wat ek sê nie. Hy was negatief, maar waar was hy? Hy was hier. People say, I don't go to church because they're full of hypocrites. That's right, but at least they are a couple of benches of chairs closer to the truth of the Word of God than that hypocrite wat by die huis sit, and kritiseer. Amen. You here this morning, give yourself a round of applause, man. Come on. You here this morning. You made a decision to get up off your blessed assurance, get in your car or on your scooter and come to church. I'll fool you who. And you know what? My brother, my sister, God will meet you at your level of expectation and faith in Him. And Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus gives us that example. He was already in the boat. You see, he doesn't say, right, go and do. He says, come, follow me. Come, follow me. How many of us can say that of our lives? We should say that. You know, when somebody comes to you and says, you know, how do I get to God? Can you say, well, do what I do? Can you? Can you? You see, is that arrogance? No. That's confidence in who you are in Jesus. And if you, you see, I really don't care that you believe in Jesus. I don't care that you believe in him. Because the Bible says, even the demons believe and they tremble. So jou geloof in Jesus Christus, wat doen het vir jou? Maar wat doen jy aangaande, die geloof? Are you acting in accordance with your faith? And Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, just do what I do. In other words, follow Jesus as I follow Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, we must be able to live a life in such a way that we can say to people, you want a life of, you want a blessed life, do what I do. And when you don't want people to say that, stop it. Stop dit. Want jy is maandag uitgesit. Stop dit. Stop it. And then do what the Lord tells you to do and say, Lord, forgive me when I stumble, when I fall, not if, but when. And then you just let your life be an example to others. So point number two is that Jesus is our example. He was already in the boat. Point number three, it says this. What did they do? They leaving the crowds behind. Folks, this thing called Christianity is going to involve you turning your back on the world and turning your eyes on Jesus and following him. It's going to mean going away from what the popular thing of the culture is for the day. The new flavor of the month or the new in thing of the month. Now, only now, they're deciding to contemplate banning the eating of cats and dogs in China after the coronavirus has got them by the... It's bad. Dis nag daar, julle. Now, hello? We're gonna have to get to a place in our lives, we're gonna have to turn our back on the crowds, on what everybody's doing. Doesn't mean because everybody's doing it is right. Doesn't mean that. Because everybody's doing it, it's right. It doesn't mean that. This thing called Christianity, and you carrying your cross daily, my brother, my sister, means you're gonna have to turn your back on the crowds, the popular opinion of the day. You see, living for Jesus and honoring God before marriage, with your body, with your finances, with your time, it's not popular. And Jesus gave us that example. They had to leave what was behind them, leave the crowds behind, and carry on. Okay, now, die reading moet nou sê, samenwerking gee, hallelujah. Okay, point number four. And it says, so they got in the boat, and soon a fierce storm arose. Now, how many of you think it's a little bit weird? Here's King Jesus, and he says, Mensa, klim op by speedboat, kom ons gaan die kant toe. They do exactly what he tells them to do. Maar nog steeds, so waar as vragtig, soos hy man getuig het volgend. Ons loof God met sy tiendes wat ons terugbesorg aan hom, maar nog steeds. Is daar 'n bil? I pay the insurance every month and they still want excess of 5,000 and plenty, 11, comma, whatever. You're doing exactly what God has told you to do, but nog steeds, the pawpaw is hitting the fan in your life. This thing called Christianity has no guarantee and promises of plain sailing. You see, the best skippers in the world, the best pilots and captains of boats, don't learn their skills on calm seas and calm waters. It's in the storms of life where they become skilled at what they do. They're doing exactly what God told them to do, and still a storm broke out. I'm like, but God, why? Why? You see, if they'd not gone through that storm in their life, they wouldn't be filled with awe at the one who says to the storm and to the wind and the waves, peace, be still. They had to find themselves in that place where they wake Jesus up. So the point is this, that even though you're doing exactly what God has told you to do, storms are still going to come your way. Years and years ago, I was asked to just pray for a pastoral couple where the whole family was under tremendous attack from the devil. And I started praying. And in the spirit, I got this image of a person behind the shield, as we see in Ephesians 6, the whole armor of God. And the person is behind the shield, and the arrows, the fiery darts of the enemy are coming. And God questions me about this, and I'm like, you know, what do you see? And I say, oh, well, the shield is stopping the fiery darts from coming. And the Lord is, no. And I looked again. The shield is not stopping the fiery darts from coming. Here's the faithful soldier, fully dressed in the armor of God, but the fiery darts are still coming. The shield does not stop the attack from the enemy from coming. It protects you from it. The enemy will still come. It will protect you from it. So you get up the shield of faith and you tuck in and you keep your shoulder to the wheel, and the shield of faith will protect you from the fiery darts of the enemy. And that was a revelation to me. Because you're dressed in the armor of God, jy's opgekiet, jy's opgebid, jy die teksvers gememoriseer, jy getuig en jy gee en jy doen alles, the fiery darts are going to keep coming. Can you say amen? So, let's moenie laat dit ons onkanvang, it's like, why, Lord? I think that is the most popular Christian song ever. Why me, Lord? Why me? I just invented it. It's, believe you me, it's not going to get on any top 100 chart anywhere, not by any stretch of the imagination. But that's going to happen. That's going to happen. So you're going to leave the crowds behind. That's point number three. Being right doesn't mean being popular. Your choice. Point number four. Severe troubles will come. That is point number four, correct, yeah. Verse 37. Severe troubles will come, even though they were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Now this. I said it this week. A very, very, very famous, well-known preacher once said this. That everything we have come to depend and trust and rely on will be tested to the max so that we can learn to depend and trust and rely on God alone. I said that. It was me. Everything that we used to and depend on. Yeah, they've got this boat. Skilled, seasoned, trained fishermen. I mean, they're the I and J of Jerusalem, pal. They got this fishing thing down pat. They've got it down. They've got this boat. It's trustworthy. It served them their purposes all the time. They're used to these waters. They know what to do. They know exactly what to do. And the scripture says this, high waves began to break into the boat until it was nearly full of water. The boat served them well until it didn't. Think about that. What you used to in life is going to serve you well until it doesn't anymore. Wat gaan jy dan maak? That boat served the purposes until it didn't anymore. And in your walk with God, ladies and gentlemen, you might be at a certain spiritual level that has served you well up until now. Guess what? Skryf dit neer. Memoriseer. You're going to be in a place where that won't serve you well anymore. You're going to have to go to the next level. You're going to have to go to the next level in your walk, in your maturity with God. Some of you, it might mean praying more. Some of you, it might mean reading more. Some of you, it might even be reading your Bible. Pint. Hello. Some of you, it might mean more than going to church for just hatch, match, and dispatch. Christenings, weddings, and begrafnisse. It might mean getting involved in a care group. It might be volunteering your services somehow in the church. It might be start honoring God with your finances. It might be start telling people about Niels. I love what I say. I know in say 20 years Bible school, by the way. I say, I can't read the Bible, nie, maar ek kan vir jou vertel wat God vir my gedoen het in my lewe. Hallelujah. I love that so much. So, everything that we used to in life, that we can depend on, is going to be tested. The scripture says everything that can be shaken will be shaken and stirred. God is busy shaking the world as well as His church. Waar gaan ons dan val? Where are we going to land? Are we going to land on the firm foundation of the Word of God? Of op in a plek van onzekerheid en twijfel? Waar gaan ons land? When the chips are down, where are we going to be? That boat served them well, right up until the time it didn't serve them well anymore. It says that the boat was nearly full of water. So I wonder, how much water is in the boat of your life now? Spiritually, mentally, physically, financially. How much water is in the boat of your life? Maybe God is calling you to that next level in your life. That's the fifth point. Point number six. It says this. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to think that me as Mozzie, if Jesus was there, Jesus, I'd ask him something and he'd tell me and say, but why? And then he tells me, but why? But I would be, how many of you kids are like that? They get that, but why? Ma, hoekom, hoekom? And you're like, because I say so. Hallelujah. Because I'd be asking Jesus question after question after question after question. But yeah, the disciples are, they're in the boat and Jesus is sleeping. I submit to you that maybe it was because they were not interested in intimate fellowship with God who was right there with them. So Jesus is like, okay, I'll rest in the comfort and presence of my Father. Is Jesus asleep in your life because of the lack of intimate fellowship with Him? Is Jesus asleep in your life because of your lack of intimate fellowship with Him? How many of you remember those wristbands? Push. How many of us are praying until something happens? Or we're just praying till the watch or the clock or the cell phone says a certain time. Dan het ek my Christelike gedeelte gedoen vir die dag, julle. My 3 minute gebedsversoek is in. 2 minute van I want, I want, I want, I want. And 1 minute is, I want it yesterday, Lord. Why isn't it yet? See, is Jesus asleep in the boat of your life because of a lack of intimate fellowship with Him? Why was He asleep in the boat? Point number seven. They get to a point in their lives where they say this. Don't you even care that we're going to drown? Are you at a place in your life where you're starting to believe the lies of the devil? God, don't you even care about me? God, don't you even hear my prayers? God, I've heard other people testify at church. When are you going to come through for me? God, I've been doing this for so long. And where are you, Lord? Have you started to listen to the lies of the devil in your life and the accusations of the enemy in your life? Point number seven is don't believe Satan's lies about God. The first thing he'll want you to do is cast doubt in your mind. In the garden, Eve decided to make Adam some fruit salad when God said don't touch. And the enemy comes along and he doesn't say, God het nie gesê nie. He just say, no, God didn't say that. He asks a question of doubt. He sows that seed of doubt. He said, did God really say, thou shalt not eat? He used the word of God against them. With Jesus being tempted in the desert, what did the devil use? The word of God. He used the word of God. So is the devil lying to you about God's word this morning, my brother, my sister? So what does the storm look like in your life? As we keep our eyes on Jesus, we started off by saying, all we have is the Word of God. All we need is the Word of God. But it must be mixed with faith. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. In the previous chapter, it describes what happened to the people of Israel. How they died in the desert and their bones were in the desert because they refused to believe God. They lived a lifestyle of miracles, miracle after miracle after miracle, but they still refused to believe God. They complained, why did you bring us out of Egypt? Have you brought us to die of starvation? Have you brought us here to die of thirst? We're tired of this manna. They ate angels' food, man. They had miracle after miracle, water from a rock, their clothes growing with them all the time, never wearing out, miracle after miracle, and yet all they did is complain and doubt and question God, and moan all the time. And they died in the desert because of that. And chapter 4 of Hebrews goes on to describe them. It says, those people, listen to this, that's why I say there's a silver thread of Jesus right through the scripture, from the Old Testament right through. It says, the gospel was preached to them as well. The good news was preached to them as well. And Hebrews 4 and verse 2, it says, for indeed, in the New King James says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, those Israelites. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. It must be mixed with faith. So God says something, your but. God declares something, yeah, but what if? God declares something, I'm not so sure, eh? You know, if I look at what's happened to me in my life up to now and whatever, where was God when I needed him most? Okay, where was God when he needed you? Just to dare to trust him, to dare to believe him. All we have is the word of God. All we'll need is the word of God, but it must be mixed with faith. So to recap, point number one, let's cross to the other side. God has a plan and a specific purpose for your life. Nothing when it comes to God is just because, but happens because it happens. No. Point number two, he was already in the boat. He shows us by his word and the example of his life how to live a life of prosperity in the godly sense of the word, the 3 John 2 sense of prosperity. You can check that up in your own time. Point number three, they left the crowds behind. You're going to have to leave the crowds behind. Stay clear of what's popular and keep your eyes on what Jesus has spoken in your life. Point number four, severe troubles will come. Don't be surprised when they do. Number five, the boat was fine until it wasn't. Everything we depend on will be tested to the max until all we can do is rely on God and on him alone. Point number six, don't let Jesus be asleep in your life because of lack of intimate fellowship with him. Press in to his presence. Lean forward for what he has for you. You know that saying, you know, how was the movie? No, it was great. I was sitting on the edge of my seat. When it gets excited, you're leaning in terug nie, and you're like getting a position and your elbows on your knees and then you're like, lean forward and receive what God has for you. And number seven, don't believe Satan's lies about God's word for your life. It's trust, believe in God as we keep our eyes pressed on him. I'd love for the deep end to come up as we sing that new song. You're I don't know what it's called. You're so good to me. You're good to me. Let me do that song. You sit there. Maybe some of these points have been evident in your life and you see, yes, Moz, I can relate to that. I need to just check up and see where I am in terms of Jesus in my life and the boat. Maybe at a point in your life where you're listening to the devil's lies about God's word in your life. As in this attitude of worship, right there where you're seated, let's just pray together as we close and end off the service for this morning. Maybe you're at a place where you've been hanging with the crowds and not following the call of obedience on your life. You know exactly what God has told you to do, and you've not yet taken that step of obedience. My brother, my sister, I want to encourage you to do so this morning. And maybe you're at the point where everything that you've been able to depend upon in the past is not there anymore. And you're going to have to learn to rely on God like never before in your life. Maybe you're there. Maybe you're surprised by a storm or something traumatic that has happened in your life. just know that Jesus is in your boat. Maybe you've been missing out on intimate fellowship with Jesus because you've been busy. And as we discussed last week, God understands. He understands life. He's the author and finisher and perfecter of life and our faith. He understands how it can be. But God is saying to each one of us this morning, come, come to me. All you who are weary, who labor, and are heavy burdened and pressed down with all sorts of things that you were never designed to carry in the first place. Would you just come to the peaceful place at the foot of the cross, at the feet of Jesus? You find your rest and your comfort and your peace in Him this morning. Have you seated each other this morning and you're not sure of your relationship with God? You're not in a good place with God. And I don't want to say, well, jy's nie seker of jy hemel toe gaan gaan of nie. I just want to say, if you just feel you're not in a good place with your relationship with God, and you'd like it to be better, if that is you, would you please raise your hand? Anybody. If you feel that your relationship with the Lord can be better, raise your hand. Is there anybody like that, yeah? Anybody? Yes, there's hands going up all over. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I'm not going to call you up to pray for you specifically. If you're serious with God, you know exactly. Maybe you didn't raise your hand and you know that your Moz, it's not like it used to be. There was a time in my life where I was more excited and more on fire for God. I want to encourage you, blessed one this morning, son and daughter of God. The fact is that if there was ever a time in your life where you were more on fire for God and more excited than for the things of the Lord than you are right now, the fact is you're backslidden. You're backslidden. But the truth is, God says He's married to the backslider. He's not forgotten you, precious one. He's not forgotten or forsaken you. And if your relationship is at a place where you know it can be better, for whatever reason, I want to pray for you this morning. And when we pray, we're going to mix our faith together. We're going to add to the Word of God the faith that He has given us. And we believe that He sees right into the deepest, darkest corners of our lives, in our hearts. That place which we think is secret, that He knows so well. I'm going to pray this morning. I believe that God is going to do what He needs to do in your life. Not what He's done in Pity's life and Kursa's life and Eugene's life and whoever's life. He's going to do something for you specifically, unique, in a way that He'll confirm His love for you as an individual. He's the God of all, but He's also the God of the individual. And God wants to show His love to you specifically. I want to pray with you this morning. If you raised your hands quietly, maybe you didn't raise your hand. You want a stronger, better, more living, vibrant relationship with Jesus. I want to pray with you this morning. God, what can I possibly say that can make a difference in the life of somebody for whom You have died? But we all lift up our hearts and we lift up our faith this morning. And Lord, we pray in our hearts, Lord God, as I pray for everybody this morning, Lord, You see where we are at in our walk with You. May we come to You and wake You up and say, Lord, help. Lord, how do I do this? Lord, what is Your opinion on this? What is Your heart on that, Lord? What do You think about this? What does Your Word say about that, Lord? And I pray for each person in their walk with You this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, would You come in and change their relationship with You forever in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, You draw near to those who draw near to You, Lord God. So as we seek Your face together as a church, would You show Yourself to us? Because You are a good, good God. When the blessings are there, You're good. When the storms are there, You're good. Whether we believe it or not, You're good. Lord, I pray this morning for an increased awareness in people's lives of Your presence day to day in their lives. There's people here, Lord God, with medical challenges, difficulties in relationships. And there's people where, for no specific reason, you're full net down, yes, off, and it's okay. Mag jy die Here kry op daai plek van moedeloosheid, daar waar jy jouself bevind. May you find the Lord there. Lord, speak life and encouragement and joy into every person's situation this morning. Lord, may their cup overflow so that they can go and be a blessing to others, Lord. Lord, when we leave this building, may we leave with renewed vitality in the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, you've said to us, let's go to the other side. I know we're going to face storms on the way, but you'll be right there, ready and waiting. And we thank you for this, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Please stand with us.